are headed to the World Series.
John Shambi, final call. ESPN Radio of the Astros 4-0 victory over the Yankees in Game 7 of the American League Championship Series. Charlie Morton, Lance McCullers combining on a three-hitter. Jose Altuve, Evan Gattis both homered. Houston advances to the World Series for the second time in franchise history. Justin Verlander named ALCS MVP. Westgate Superbook currently has the Dodgers as -160 favorites to beat the Astros in the Fall Classic. Game 1 Tuesday, 7 Eastern, ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Clayton Kershaw, Dallas Keuchel. After last night's loss, manager Joe Girardi said he loves managing the Yankees, but is unsure whether he'll be back in 2018. His contract's up at the end of this season. Girardi has not definitively said he wants to return, nor have the Yankees said they want him back. College football, Saquon Barkley with 176 all-purpose yards and 3 touchdowns. Number 2 Penn State rolled over number 19 Michigan 42-13, its 16th straight regular season win. Number 4 TCU beat Kansas 43-zip. Horned Frogs held the Jayhawks to 21 total yards. Number 13 Notre Dame routed number 11 USC 49-14. Second largest margin of victory by the Irish over the Trojans in that series history. NBA, Steph Curry, Kevin Durant both ejected in the final minute of the Warriors' 111-101 loss to the Grizzlies. Curry tossed after throwing his mouthpiece.
The Dodgers are heading back to the World Series for the first time in almost 30 years. Is the pressure off Clayton Kershaw now? We'll discuss. It's Mike and Mike, starting at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and ESPN2.
Welcome to the Dan and Mary Jo Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. Be a part of the show by calling 381-1313 or tweet your comments to at @DReefer or at @MJP18. Now, here are Dan Reefer and Mary Jo Perino.
Good morning, Mary Jo.
Good morning, Daniel. We thought it would be close, and well, we were wrong.
I mean, are they even going to win another game this year? Hey, 9-1. What were we thinking? How about 5-7? That's more likely.
I am not. I'm not pushing the panic button this morning.
No.
I'm really not.
I'm not either. I'm just joking. It felt horrible, though.
Yeah, it was really ugly. But, you know, after the game was over last night, I said that, you know, this loss counts as one loss the same way, barely beating, you know, other teams this year have counted as a win.
Eastern Michigan, EKU,
yeah,
Southern Miss.
Every team we've won. So I don't know. I mean, like, it was hard to watch the apparent ineptitude coming off of a bye week.
Mm-hmm.
That was hard to see. Nick Fitzgerald's was incredible, and Kentucky could do nothing. I mean, nothing.
Yeah.
To even, like, throw him off his game a little.
Eli Brown even said it this week. We talked about it yesterday. His quote was, we haven't faced a team that runs the ball as well as they do. This is going to determine the rest of our season right here. And if we don't stop the run, we're going to get blown out. That's exactly what happened.
Yes, and it could still, it doesn't mean that this is determining the rest of the season in a negative way. I don't think, you know, it just depends on how they use it. I think, you know, anyone who was on Twitter last night saw that behind Mark Stoops at the podium, there was the locker room. And if you listen to any of the videos coming out from that, Vince Mero was in there with the team. And they were having a chat,
mm-hmm.
None of which is broadcastable. So it's a matter of now how they use it. Because we weren't expecting a win yesterday. You wanted to keep it competitive. You wanted to look like you were in the game. But, like, when we talked about it, neither one of us thought they were going to win.
Right. I didn't think they would win the game.
I don't think they're going to beat Georgia. No. I don't think they have a shot. But I didn't think that before yesterday.
Mm-mm.
And so you're still talking, if they can get things back on track, that can still be a 9-3 season. That is still all-time historic types of seasons at Kentucky. Yeah, an 8-4 season is still going to be incredible.
But if Kentucky had played Alabama yesterday, would the score be 45-7? Because that's what it was against Tennessee. And that's the team that Kentucky plays next. So it could be a 9-3 season, or Kentucky could lose
to
Tennessee.
Hey, at least our score was offensive, a fake fumble into the end zone.
Right. Ole Miss got crushed. That yes. game's up here.
Yes.
You would think Kentucky would be the favorite in that game.
I think they will be favored over Vandy.
That's on the road, and Vanderbilt is no guarantee either. But of these next three games, I think Kentucky probably goes 2-1. I mean, because yesterday was just, they just got exposed. They looked like they were playing a big boy team, big boy football team, and they weren't able to match up with that. I mean, it was pretty telling. You just thought Kentucky was a little better, and Mississippi State is clearly way ahead of where Kentucky is.
But I hate doing the, you know, A beat B and B beat C, so A would beat C by this.
Uh-huh.
But I mean, is Georgia then the best football team that's ever been? Because they absolutely destroyed Mississippi State. I mean, couldn't it be that they just played terrible? I don't think they're that bad. I don't think Kentucky is as bad as they looked yesterday.
No, they could be better. I mean, at South Carolina was obviously a better looking football team. But after the bye week, going into this game, you just thought if you just took the 5-1 record and looked at it that way, you could convince yourself that this team had the potential for 9-1. If you look at it and then add this game, then you go, well, this.
Yeah,
this
if you team analyze has, who they've beaten and how they've beaten them.
Right. Because that's the way the first half of the season was. And Mark Stoops even, you know, sensed that frustration and kind of let it out a little bit on his radio show. Like, hey, we're 5-1. Quit complaining. We're 5-1. Well, it's the look test. And you looked horrible yesterday. That's why people are complaining and think you're a fraud. And that's what you gave them the ammunition. After you defended it, then you gave them the ammunition by laying that egg yesterday. And now anyone who thinks this team was a fraud through the first six games can say, told you so. Now, I don't think that way. I think they're playing up the positives of we were able to find ways to win. And I think what happened yesterday was they went in that game confident, thought they had a chance in that game, and then they just got punched in the nose really hard, and they just didn't want it. They just didn't want anymore. They were just getting beat up, you know?
Yeah.
They just couldn't come back from that. Just couldn't get themselves up off the floor after getting beat down. Now, Stoops said it all came down to that 3rd-and-1 play, which...
Now, in a game that you lose by 38 points, nothing comes down to one play.
I understand what he means, that, you know, if you get a first down there, even if you don't score, you could go into the halftime and be down 10-7 instead of 17-7. But, yeah, the second half, they dominated. But I guess it took the wind out of their sails, maybe. So, at halftime, the team didn't have that feeling of, oh, we're going to come back and win this game. And had they not given up that touchdown before the half, maybe it's a different feeling, I guess. Maybe they come out and play a little bit differently.
Still, to me, 10 points, that's not – I mean, all you have to do is have one score.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even kick a field goal. Right. And then you're within a score. Like, it's not out of the realm of possibility at that point. Now, when you let it get to 38-7, yeah, you ain't coming back.
But on that play he's talking about, I remember the comments in the room where I was watching the game. And they were, why aren't you trying to get the 1 yard? Why are you going deep? You know, those were the comments. And I saw those comments on Twitter, too. Of course, you're thinking the same thing. You need 1 yard, and they're blitzing, and they show that blitz, and you're going deep down the field to Greg Hart. Well, I mean, okay. you get what you deserve, you know?
Yeah.
If that's where the game turned, then you made a horrible decision because, if, as you said, you really needed the first down. But he, it, Stoops said that he and Eddie Grant had talked about it. They had worked it. They were kind of – they had it there. They were waiting for an opportunity to use that play. And they were like, oh, this looks good. This is where we're going to get them. And it didn't work. And it was too much risk, I guess, is what how Stoops felt afterward. But again, those decisions you're going to disagree with. That didn't turn the football
game. No. No, you lost by 38 points. So there's there's a multitude of things.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that was
Nick Fitzgerald runs.
Yeah.
That
lost the football game for you right there.
Yeah. I mean, he like Xbox spin moved on everyone four times. So
what made it even more brutal was they took Fitzgerald out and put in his backup, and he just killed him like he was Fitzgerald. Like, we'll just run anybody in there and run you over.
Yeah.
That, first and foremost, that is the number one takeaway I have from the game, is Mississippi State was more physical and dominated the line of scrimmage. They just shoved Kentucky around, and like I said, Kentucky took a punch to the nose and just didn't want to be in it. Like, oh, man, that hurt. Can we go now?
So what it looks like to me is that, like, Kentucky's defensive stats are like Missouri's offensive stats, right? So Missouri has had two games this year, one where they scored 68 and one where they scored 72 or 73, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So that will skew your overall stats where they're like, well, we're averaging 38 points a game, which sounds great, but in every other game you scored seven, right?
Yeah.
So Kentucky's defensive stats are against teams that don't, that just don't do those things well at all, and then they play a team that can run the ball very effectively, and they couldn't stop the run.
Well, you know, even Mark Stoops said afterward, we knew that our run statistics didn't mean anything in this game. That against Mississippi State, they're so good at running the ball that we're not looking at that, you know? And again, those run statistics come from holding, what, Eastern Michigan to 13 yards rushing? You know, so I don't know. They have played pretty well defensively at times. But when you, again, when you get dominated on the line of scrimmage, that's that. Then you can do what you want. Fitzgerald is also super slippery. I mean, Josh Allen had him.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he slipped off of him. And then even still, Allen had him around the ankle. Looked like he could just yank him down.
And he still completed a pass.
And Fitzgerald still got out of it. Yeah. And then he's very savvy, obviously. I mean, that fourth and one, everything's going up the middle to stop, and he just looks at it and goes, well, why would I go there? There's all that room over there.
Mm-hmm.
And he just runs over there.
It seems so simple when you put it that way, Dan.
There was another play. What was it? Or is that the play I'm thinking of? I guess it was, because it looked like it was almost busted. And then everything was going one way, and he just went the other.
That's when he laid the spin move on him.
Yeah.
That's when, right. as Sam would say, he glitched.
He glitched. There's another, there's another fourth and one, though, earlier in the game.
Yeah, that's the one I'm thinking of.
there's two. Yeah, he is really, really good. And then, I mean, the good news for Kentucky is when Fitzgerald graduates, that kid who just scored two touchdowns against him yesterday will be the quarterback. So they already got a glimpse into the future of what
scouting
losses
scouting
to
for
State
the future.
Well, look, you already know what you're gonna, who you're gonna lose to.
Oh, Dan.
Realistically, from here, Stoops even said you gotta accept this. Look yourself in the mirror. Get over it. And don't let this...
He said there's enough blame to go around for everybody.
Yeah. And don't let this lose the Tennessee game to for you as well. So that's where their focus needs to be now, if you win that Tennessee game, this is gone. This is over. Yeah, all this feeling, this talk, that's done.
And that's the thing. You can hear Vince Marrow in the locker room going, you got your bleepity bleeps kicked. This is bleeping ridiculous. Your bleepity bleep bleep blank blank blankety blank. Right? I mean, he lit him up.
Yeah.
And to the point where Stoops had to say, Slacks, can you go back there and just, you know,
right.
like I'm distracted. Everyone's distracted. Listening to what he's saying.
Right. The walls are paper thin here. It's darkful.
And, you know, they corrected some reporters that were there about what was going on behind the scenes.
Jen Smith, like, tweeted it, and she goes, I have been corrected by UK.
Yeah.
There was just some frustration.
And you could hear the frustration now. You could hear that. So this team takes that one of two ways. I mean, the year that Rich Brooks and company went to LSU and got their bleepity blanks blanked.
Right.
41-0 or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And that was an absolute turning point in the program under Rich Brooks. And from that game forward, it was, there was a lot of success to be had. So that can go one of two ways.
It can. You're right. They could come back here and do what that team did and win, what, five of their last six? I think that four of the last five. So I think it's five of the last six, actually.
Yeah, because they won the bowl game.
Yeah. I mean, Tennessee is not a great football team. They're not.
They're not even a good football team.
No. But the competition they've played has been a little bit better. Their schedule has been a little bit tougher than Kentucky's. So has Tennessee packed it in? I don't know, because according to Butch Jones,
really going to listen to him, Dan?
Well, he prepares them for life, Mary Jo. And so, you know, it doesn't matter about wins and losses as much as it does. You know, he teaches them to become men. And when they leave Tennessee, Mary Jo, they are champions of life.
Is that what he's going to be when he leaves Tennessee in a couple weeks?
Well, I don't know if you saw in the Tennessee game where that one touchdown they scored, and one of the kids that was with the kid who scored the touchdown, he gave the champions of life signal to the crowd. Like, did you see those two? Yeah, he lifted both hands in the air and put up one of his fingers.
The champion of life symbol.
It was the champion of life symbol. Hey, we're champions of life. Butch Jones taught me this. I mean, winning. If you're not winning on the field, you're winning in life. Because it was on display with both middle fingers in the air at Bryant-Denny Stadium after scoring one touchdown defensively against Alabama.
Yeah.
Yeah. If Kentucky beats Tennessee, that may be the Butch Jones retirement match. That may put him out to pasture. That may do it.
And that brings the goodwill back on to Mark Stoops.
For sure. It's huge.
You
lose the Tennessee game, then it just keeps – this just keeps going. Then it's Ole Miss. Oh, they're not going to beat Ole Miss. You know, someone tweeted at me during the bye week when we're being positive and saying, hey, Kentucky could go 9-1 because the combined record of their – opponents in SEC play is 1-9. So entering that game, entering the bye week, it was that's what the schedule looked like. And someone said, I don't think Kentucky will win but one of the remaining five games. Like, oh, come on. You don't think one? But then you see where that person's coming from when Kentucky goes out and looks like this. But I totally agree, don't hit the panic button. I mean, I know there are some out there that are like, 5-1, we told you 5-1, so shut up, quit telling us what to think. It's funny that way. You know, they think that there's a portion of the fan base that thinks 5-1's a fraud and can't be happy about it, and then there's a portion that's telling them, you're wrong for not being happy. I can't say that you are if you've been a Kentucky football fan your whole life.
No.
You have every right to be unhappy if you want to be. I think you
because they bring almost nothing but unhappiness on.
I think you have to, but I don't know. You just don't want that rug pulled out from under you again and again and again. But yeah. if you just accept that Kentucky football is what it is, and until that next step is taken, I don't know that you couldn't bring in another coach and then expect it to just take this giant leap.
No.
I don't know. The only blueprint I can think of is James Franklin.
I was just going to say, unless we would have gotten James Franklin right. from Vandy.
Because who goes to Vandy and has 9 wins back-to-back years, and then he goes to Penn State and it takes him, what, 2 years to make them
and
the number two team in the country?
Right. And so they play at Ohio State
yeah.
this weekend. So I don't. Will game day be back-to-back Penn State games? It's got to be Penn State-Ohio State, though, right?
Where else do you go? Pretty big game.
That's a gigantic game. Yeah. If Penn State wins that game, then because I was looking at their schedule last night just to see, they play at Michigan State and then after Ohio State. So these next couple games are tough.
Yeah.
But then they have like Rutgers, Nebraska, and someone else that's pretty garbage. Yeah. So, I mean, if they win Saturday, they're going to be in the playoff.
Yeah. They will be.
In 2 years under James Franklin, with not a full roster of scholarship players until I think this year.
Right.
That's insane.
What he's doing is amazing. And then your guy at Mizzou. I mean, I still don't understand how Mizzou won back-to-back East divisions. Just came into the SEC and was like, we're going to roll through this thing. Went 14-2 over 2 years.
But I'm telling you, Dan, look in the NFL. Watch on Sundays. Mm-hmm. There are a significant amount of Missouri players defensively
yeah.
that are playing on Sundays right now, and they're making big plays. They're good players. So Mizzou had some really good defensive teams.
To me, for Kentucky, progress is being better than South Carolina, Missouri, and Vanderbilt. That's what you want to do. Now, to climb the ladder after that, you have to beat a Tennessee, a Georgia, a Florida. That's it. That's your measuring stick. Beat South Carolina, Vanderbilt, and Missouri consistently so that you're above there in the SEC East. And then to get anywhere beyond that, you have to beat Tennessee, Georgia, and or Florida. You should have beaten Florida this year. You better beat Tennessee Saturday. You gotta beat Tennessee. So that only leaves Georgia. So in the big picture of things, and you can say, well, Tennessee's down. It's still Tennessee.
But that's when you've got to take advantage of those kind of things.
Right. You have to take advantage.
All right, we're going to be talking to Joe Masato from SECCountry.com coming up.
He heard that stuff firsthand down there in Starkville yesterday.
We're going to ask for an absolutely direct transcription of it. So be prepared with your bleeping noise, Brad.
He's coming on at 10 o'clock. You can call 381-1313 if you want to get in here and talk about this. Of course, we have a ton of other stuff to talk about, too. We don't have to sit here and debate whether
commiserate about
whether the season's over or be happy or you know plenty of stuff to talk about here on the Dan and Mary Jo Show
on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. Fellow made of concrete again.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Oh no, I broke my iPhone.
Experiment can fix it.
But how much will that cost? I'll probably have to rob a bank, hit the lottery, or hope a long-lost relative leaves me a huge sum of money.
Not at Experimac.
Experimac? What's that?
Experimac is your place for pre-owned Apple products and repair.
Repair?
Yep, iPhones, iPads, iMacs, MacBook, and Macs. You break it, Experimac repairs it. Experimac, 2380 Norman Lane, Suite 130, right next to Salsarita's. Or call 859-368-9265. Experimac, computers, tablets, phones, buy, sell, trade, or repair.
If you close your eyes, you can almost smell the deep heating medicated ointment.
Woof.
ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Driving means
freedom,
exploration,
fun,
pride,
flexibility,
travel,
protection, ability, friendship,
excitement, control, independence.
Distracted driving means
danger,
recklessness,
irresponsible,
chaos,
police,
devastation,
injuries,
tears,
death.
Safe driving means staying alert and staying alive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
There is a place right here in Kentucky where a total stranger will give you food and shelter when disaster strikes. There is a place where you can support your community by donating blood, volunteering, or making a contribution. That place is the American Red Cross. I'm Jennifer Adrio, CEO of the Red Cross Kentucky Region. Help us celebrate our 100th anniversary by becoming involved today. Call 1-800-RED-CROSS to find a Red Cross near you.
It never fails. Every Christmas you put tons of thought into getting him the perfect gift. You give it to him and get that smile. You know the one, like he's a kid who didn't get his puppy from Santa.
Brenda Satterwhite of Linex of Kentucky.
Ladies, guys are like kids. Trust me. I've been married to one for 41 years and raised three more. There's one thing I've learned from all that testosterone. If he has a truck, buy him a Linex of Kentucky gift card in any amount you want. Then, wrap it up in a pine tree air freshener and place it in a box. Christmas morning, when you give it to him, he'll say,
"Is it a puppy?"
You'll say,
"Actually, it's a gift card that lets you choose from 155,681 different truck accessories at Linex."
Then get ready for that other smile. Pure happiness. Linex of Kentucky, just south of Lexington at 119 Howard behind Toyota's big used car store. And remember, unlike that puppy, a gift from Linex of Kentucky won't pee on your carpet.
Fall is here. The leaves are clogging your gutters, and cleaning them can be a very messy, dangerous, time-consuming, and expensive problem. With Gutter Helmet, the nation's number one gutter protection, you will never clean your gutters again. Gutter Helmet prevents water damage and keeps gutters free of leaves and debris. Guaranteed for life. Call and save 20% at 859-554-2449 or online at classichomecenter.net.
Hi, folks. Richard Lomerson, owner of Gutter Helmet. Asked for it by name. Gutter Helmet.
Are you embarrassed about missing teeth? Are you self-conscious around others because your dentures might slip or spaces left by missing teeth may show? Become comfortable and confident again with dental implants from Dr. Claire.
Hi, I'm Dr. Susan Claire. When it comes to your dental health, there's an old saying, good dentistry isn't expensive, lack of good dentistry is. Let me show you how to smile with confidence again.
For all your dental needs, visit Dr. Claire at 145 Walton Avenue, Lexington, and be proud to show off those pearly whites.
Your dental needs don't have to just stop at general cleaning. Are you embarrassed about missing teeth? Become comfortable and confident again with dental implants from Dr. Claire. Visit Dr. Claire at 145 Walton Avenue, Lexington, for all your dental needs.
Do you avoid laughing aloud, smiling, or eating in public because your denture may slip or a space left by missing teeth may show? If so, visit Dr. Claire at 145 Walton Avenue in Lexington to see if dental implants are right for you and get back to eating and speaking with comfort and confidence again.
Whether it's a natural disaster devastating thousands or a home fire affecting a family, the American Red Cross is there. I'm Jennifer Adrio, CEO of the Kentucky Region Red Cross. Help us as we celebrate 100 years in Kentucky. Contact your local Red Cross today.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show, local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show or tweet them at DReefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
If you want to get in here, listen to us on the app. WLXG is what you search in the app store on Google Play, iTunes, and then it's a wonderful app. You've heard me talk about it before. WLXG.com, you can also listen there. Today, we've got football on the air. 1 o'clock, it's the Saints at the Packers. News today, this morning, a report that the Packers doctors are saying Aaron Rodgers could begin throwing as soon as 6 weeks from now and could return maybe December 17th. They've already got a date.
And then he'll go on and
just
in time for the playoffs. Do some sort of crazy stuff and win the Super Bowl.
Just in time for the playoffs. Saints at Packers, 1 o'clock here on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. 4 o'clock, Broncos at Chargers. And then tonight's game, a rematch of the Super Bowl, the Falcons and the Patriots. I mean, what if the Falcons jump out to a 28-0 lead and then lose the game? Oh, that would be – if that happened, I would retire the franchise. If I were Arthur Blank, I would say, guys, I'll honor the rest of your contract through this year, but we're shutting it down.
But I'm Bobby Petrino-ing you right now.
Yeah, we're shutting down. We're going to become the Gwinnett Panthers or the Gwinnett Crows. I don't know.
Crows. Are crows popular in the Atlanta area?
They're popular in Georgia. I've just seen plenty of crows living in Georgia. The black crows.
I was
going to
say
Atlanta.
The black crows. Yeah, there we go.
Now, Mary Jo, you told me something I didn't realize during the break.
Yes.
The JFK files are going to be released, the classified files, like by Donald Trump this week.
And not really by Donald Trump. Like, let's not give him credit. Right. Like, there was a act of Congress done in 1992. He was still probably married to Marla Maples at the time. Or whoever he married.
Right.
I don't know.
During his USFL days.
Yes.
Which, if you really want to know what his beef with the NFL is, go
back
to
that's USFL. It. I think there's a 30 for 30 on it long before he ever decided to run for president. Anyways, there was an act of Congress that said all of the files relating to the Kennedy assassination would be released October 26, 2017, which at the time in 1992, well, that's 25 years later. And, you know, I don't know. I'm a very much a conspiracy theorist on this subject. Mm-hmm. Not in general, in the world. I don't have a conspiracy theory of the world.
You don't believe UK is behind Tom Jurich's firing?
No. No, I don't. I believe he made his own bed and now he's lying in it. But I do feel conspiracy-ish about the Kennedy assassination. Mm-hmm. Mostly because I loved the movie JFK and took absolute and I am positive there were no artistic
liberties
taken in that movie. It was 100% fact documentary.
Mm-hmm.
I read the book that inspired that movie.
Mm-hmm.
I read several books about the JFK assassination. I just think there's too many crazy things.
You own the original copy of the Zapruder film.
Yes, I have the Zapruder film.
Back and to the left. Back and to the left.
I have the original Time magazine before the shadows on Lee Harvey Oswald's face were made to show a different time of day. Yeah, I obviously have.
I have the episode of Seinfeld where they reenact that scene from the movie.
But anyways, I'm really intrigued. I feel like it's going to be a huge letdown. Like, there's not going to be anything that we'll find out that we don't already know.
This is
then, why would they be classified for 25 years? Why couldn't we have known back then?
Yeah, I feel like this is Geraldo Rivera opening Al Capone's vault.
That might be true.
God, I was so let down watching that. I was like, oh, this is going to be so cool. You know, I've watched mob stuff on A&E or whatever, and you'd seen the stuff. And like, oh, my God, this thing's been, like, buried. I mean, there's no telling what's in here, you know? And Geraldo's just selling it. And then you get there, I'm like, oh, God. You've just wasted 3 hours of my life, it feels like.
But listen, Dan, what if it turns out, like, just now have we, as a country, like, kind of started opening up relations with Cuba again, right? What if it turns out in these files that Cuba assassinated John F. Kennedy?
Ooh. Well, let me tell you what the author of Case Closed, Lee Harvey Oswald and the Assassination of JFK said, Gerald Posner. Is that the book you're talking about?
No.
Okay, well, he wrote this book and he said, of this that's coming out, there's going to be no smoking gun in there. Anybody who thinks this is going to turn the case on its head and suddenly show that there were three or four shooters at Dealey Plaza, that's not the case. Oswald did it alone. That's what Posner says. But what the files are doing and why they're important to come out is they will fill in the history of the case and show us how the FBI and CIA repeatedly hid the evidence. So, the conspiracy theories about the CIA and mob working together to assassinate the head of the state, are true, but the target was Cuban leader Fidel Castro, not Kennedy, is what he says.
Ooh, see? I mean, there's some craziness. I'm not necessarily sold that there were more than one. I could maybe buy the theory that it was just Oswald doing the shooting, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But what, I don't think he acted alone as far as, like, what...
Yeah, why does this dude just up and decide, I'm going to kill Kennedy? Come on.
Yeah, so right. I think there's other forces at work behind him. But just, if I was going to be Walter Matthau from the movie JFK, you think that boy did the shooting job he did all by himself? That dog don't hunt. Find that clip, Brad, and play that.
There are some great lines in that movie.
We're through the looking glass, people. White is black, and black is white. I mean, I love that movie.
Now, Jasper, you and your sister run up on the bed. Yeah, Kevin Costner's accent throughout that movie was pretty good. Yep. All right, we got to take a break.
One more thing.
Yes, go ahead.
Because it's really quick. The other cool thing that's non-sports related yesterday, or not yesterday, but just this week, is the KFC Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
Follows all the Spice Girls and then six guys named Herb. So it follows 11 herbs and spices.
But
I think that is so cute.
A friend of mine pointed out that it doesn't follow the biggest herb there is, which is WKRP in Cincinnati's herb.
He wasn't real, Dan.
You've got to follow that herb.
Is he on Twitter? And is his real name Herb?
You know, I don't know.
He follows Herb Sendek is one of them.
Really?
Yeah.
Herb Sendek's one of them? Herbie Hancock, is he among them?
Yeah, Herbie Hancock I think is on there.
Yeah, that's good. That is good.
All right, I'm done. I'm done with my non-sports talk.
I mean, we could continue because who wants to talk about that garbage yesterday? We will, though. We will. With Joe Masato of SECCountry.com at 10 o'clock and taking your calls 381-1313 here on the Dan and Mary Joe Show.
On ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
The Dan and Mary Joe Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Shouldn't you have a checking account that makes your life easier? Introducing Easy Checking from Republic Bank. Relax with no minimum balance or monthly maintenance fees. Easily send money through our app with Mobile Pop Money. Log into your account by scanning your finger or eye with your smartphone. And for easy access to your money, you can use 85,000 surcharge-free ATMs worldwide. Easy checking for your hard-earned money. We're Republic Bank, and it's just easier here. $50 required to open checking account. Message and data rates may apply. Member FDIC.
Do you have a property that needs expensive repairs? Kentucky Real Estate Buyers pays cash for houses, so you don't need to worry. We provide a quick, no-stress home selling solution. You pay nothing out of pocket and make no repairs. Kentucky Real Estate Buyers wants to give you cash for your house in Lexington, Paris, Winchester, and Nicholasville. If you want a cash offer on your house without the hassle of listing it, call Kentucky Real Estate Buyers first for a free consultation. Call 859-780-5757 or visit us online at KentuckyRealEstateBuyers.com. Do you have a property that needs expensive repairs? Kentucky Real Estate Buyers pays cash for houses, so you don't need to worry. We provide a quick, no-stress home selling solution. You pay nothing out of pocket and make no repairs. Kentucky Real Estate Buyers wants to give you cash for your house in Lexington, Paris, Winchester, and Nicholasville. If you want a cash offer on your house without the hassle of listing it, call Kentucky Real Estate Buyers first for a free consultation. Call 859-780-5757 or visit us online at KentuckyRealEstateBuyers.com.
If you own a gun, you have a full-time responsibility. When you aren't using it, be sure it can't get into the hands of curious children, troubled teenagers, a thief, or anyone else who might misuse it. Your family, friends, and neighbors are all counting on you. Remember, always lock it up. For more information on firearm storage safety, visit ncpc.org. This message brought to you by the National Crime Prevention Council, the Bureau of Justice Assistance, and the Ad Council.
20 illegal online pharmacies appear each day, but you can find safe and legitimate pharmacies online by looking for .pharmacy in a web address. Learn more at safe.pharmacy. A public service from the National Association of Boards of Pharmacy.
Auto Extras.
Picturing cruising town with your buddies or sweetheart in a sizzling hot ride. Smoke out the rest of the competition with the hottest vehicle on the road. Get to Truck and Auto Extras today and let the experts get your ride in tip-top shape. Accessorize your car, truck, or SUV with quality parts while getting the best service in town. Window tinting, remote car starters, bed covers, lift kits, new tires, car audio, and much, much more. Truck and Auto Extras, a sure bet to have necks turning and the streets smoking hot all year long. Don't head north, south, or west. Head east to 1098 East New Circle Road in Lexington.
Truck and Auto Extras.
You won't believe the looks we're gonna get ya. Extra cool, extra hot, so much better than what you got.
Truck and Auto Extras.
Go from mild to wild, good to great. Have the hottest ride on the interstate.
Truck and Auto Extras.
Why is it that when someone asks you to just trust them, you just don't? Because trust is tricky. You can't just say it. You have to back it up. AAA Auto Insurance has been doing that for over 100 years. As quickly as a car accident happens, AAA starts to set things right, matching you with the right expert who makes your claim their priority until you're back behind the wheel. Talk to a AAA insurance agent at your local office today or visit AAA.com/insurance to learn more about AAA.
The only station in America where the employees need to tape up their ankles. ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show, local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show or tweet them at DReefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Bullet, that dog don't hunt.
That dog don't hunt. It's a little bit of breaking news here.
Oh, yeah.
Sources are saying that Ole Miss quarterback Shea Patterson is expected to miss the rest of the season with a knee injury.
Oh.
Kentucky plays Ole Miss in 2 weeks.
Yes. Wow. That is huge news. Shea Patterson has been tearing it up.
Well, he was awful last night.
Well, yeah, LSU made him look bad. Did you hear what Ed Orgeron said this
no,
week?
No, what did he say this
oh,
week?
Oh, my God. Oh. Well, you know, he said he that he, the whole time he was at Ole Miss, he wished he was at LSU. He actually said that at the beginning of the week. The beginning of the week that you're going to play Ole Miss in Oxford, he says that he's, yeah, the whole time he was at Ole Miss, he wished he was at LSU. I mean, my gosh, how bad is that?
Yeah, I tell you, I love LSU. That's where I'm from, Louisiana, and you know, I had a good time at Ole Miss, but the whole time I was here, I just wish I was in Baton Rouge. And then, it's nice though to be back in Oxford. I was confused by the land shark. I didn't know that they had changed their mascot. They had that black bear for a while. Now they got that. The land sharks, so, but it did not intimidate us. Obviously, we were able to execute our game plan and really do what we wanted to do against Ole Miss.
Well, they did. LSU yeah. looked like world beaters. Like, you can't watch that mm-hmm. game last night and think, well, that looks like a team that lost at home to Troy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they got their act together.
I mean, Darius Geis was Fournette-ish.
Yes. He's bad, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're good. They've got good players. It's just a matter of getting them to all go in the same direction and do the things you want them to do. But, yes, yeah, so Ole Miss. Now that changes, you know, the game for Kentucky, obviously. Yeah. Kentucky, we thought anyway that Kentucky would be a favorite in that game. But now, without Shea Patterson, who had been throwing the ball for 400 yards a game, it seems like, because it didn't matter what he looked like against LSU, Mary Jo, if he had played, he would have thrown for 400 yards.
Yes, yeah.
That's just
for
fact.
Sure.
A fact.
No doubt.
So without him, that Tennessee game is even bigger because now you win that Tennessee game and you got a real chance of winning the Ole Miss game. So you go 2-0 at home before you head to Vandy.
And then
what happened yesterday. And you got 7 wins.
Yeah.
So now you've got 3 games to pick up win 8, which I don't remember the statistic or the year, whatever, but it's been a while since eight wins. It's been...
Yes.
07?
Well, and that wasn't eight regular season wins.
Right. Yeah, eight regular season wins.
You'd have to go back to the 80s.
Yeah. So it is... And you, how could you not say that that's a special season?
You have, no, you have to.
You would have to recognize...
Of historic proportion.
Yeah. Because you would have... The next SEC win is going to be three. The one after that is going to be four. So if you get Tennessee and Ole Miss, you're up to four conference wins.
And that might be, you know.
Now, 4-4 has happened under Rich Brooks.
Yeah.
In 07. But 5-3, which if you could beat Tennessee and Ole Miss, then, you know, Vanderbilt and Georgia, you would have an opportunity against one of those two, Vanderbilt, I mean.
Yeah.
to win five Southeastern Conference games. So, again, it's not all lost, but.
You do have an icky feeling today. Yeah. I mean, let's
How
just,
do you feel
you know.
Good about this football? It's hard to feel good about this football team. And again, I am not going to tell you how to feel about it. You feel however you want to feel. Because after that, who's going to tell you, hey, it's all not lost. It didn't look good yesterday, but they can still go into that game 8-2 against Georgia. Well, they could, but there's nothing wrong with feeling like they could lose the rest of them either.
You can't fault anyone for thinking that. It's right. happened before. In fact, the last time they started 5-1, it happened.
Yeah. I don't want to be the liberal that tells the conservative that it's wrong to feel the way you're feeling.
But,
I don't know better than you.
In very recent memory, the whole thing went south after starting 5-1. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's not like it's beyond the, right. out of the realm of possibility.
Right.
I am just choosing to myself say I'm going to reserve judgment until I see what happens against Tennessee, because they can use this one of two ways, and things can go one of two ways here.
It's very difficult if you're the Kentucky football program trying to sell tickets for a Tennessee game, a team that you've beaten once in the last 32 years, I think, and the 1 year you beat them, it was because Tennessee finished last. You won the last place game. You or Tennessee was going to finish last place in the East, and you beat Tennessee, so they finished last.
Right.
And that's all you've got to point to for the last 32 years.
It's a lose-lose situation for Mark Stoops, because you beat Tennessee, and it's like, well, congrats. You beat Tennessee when they're, like, the lowest of the low. And if you lose to them, then it's like, oh, we can just never, you know. It'll.
It's still a win situation because you're bowl eligible.
Exactly. And exactly. I'm just saying for Mark Stoops, for the haters out there, whatever. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to reserve judgment until that Tennessee game.
What I mean is selling the tickets to get everybody pumped up, to get them in the stadium at 7:30 Saturday night, to get that place rocking the way it was against Florida. It's going to be very hard to do coming off that loss and against a team that historically you have been miserable against. So it's... You know, it's just
I think it all boils to convince
someone to get back up again, to get up and be like, okay, we can win. Hope. Oh, soul crushing blow.
Which is what happened against Florida this year.
Yeah.
I mean, they had it packed. They had it rocking. They had everything going their way. And then a heartbreaking loss. And
why would you,
I just don't think people are ready to give all of that emotion again in the same season, you know, three, 4 weeks later.
It's hard to do. It's just a, you know.
I feel like fans poured it all into that Florida game.
Here, let me pay you money to tease me and then punch me right in the gut at the end. I probably wouldn't pay for that.
Yeah.
And then, you know, somebody says.
But you're going to be upset if you're not there when they beat Tennessee.
Somebody says to you, you pay for that? Oh, yeah, like. I don't know, 20 times in the last 5 years.
Yeah, you remember how many people were actually at the Tennessee game where they did win with Matt Roark. Mm-hmm. That wasn't like that was some sort of packed house.
No.
But talk to anyone. I was there.
No.
I saw it. Yeah. With my own two eyes. I was there when we beat Tennessee.
I have very fond memories of that game because I'm you know, I'm on the field there as is attending, and Joker is being carried off by his players. I mean, they're just carrying him all the way off the field toward the locker room, and I see him there, and I'm just like, I'm so happy for him because it's been so tough. Like, to this day, I don't care what you say about Joker. I like the guy. I think he's a very good guy. I just like him. I wish it would have worked out for him. And so I don't hold anything against him. It's just, I think he made some bad decisions on who he hired, and it backfired on him. But anyway, so I was happy as much for him as anyone. Just that kind of pressure and all the criticism and everything that comes with being the head coach of Kentucky. And so I'm just looking at him, and I'm smiling, and I just give him kind of a thumbs up, and he looks back, gives me a wink, and I was like, that's cool. That's cool that he's up there getting carried off.
It's pretty rare that it works out coaching at your alma mater.
Yeah.
It's, you think it's a great idea, and then it ends up being tough for everyone, I think. I think Barry Odom's going through that at Missouri right now.
Yeah.
I think even in basketball, you find out things like that where, you know, you want to bring in someone who who knows the Michigan way and the Kentucky way and all of that, and then
like a David Padgett.
Yeah. The Louisville way. But I'm I got told on Twitter to stop the Louisville sleigh, so
what to not
I don't. I think
we haven't even talked about Louisville today.
Well, I think I made a backhanded Bobby Petrino comment when you were talking about disbanding the Falcons.
Well, I tell you what. To be perfectly honest about Louisville, that was big and needed for everyone.
For everyone.
Yeah, because the football team. Okay, it's one thing if our basketball team's going through this nonsense. We don't know how many years it's going to be until we recover from this.
But we've got the freaking Heisman Trophy winner.
Right. We've got the Heisman Trophy winner. And then you lose to Boston College. And then it's just like, oh, no, not this too. So to go down to Florida State and win a game in which you were a 6.5-point underdog and then win it the way you did, which was you didn't convert on fourth down. Florida State is driving. They're going to score the winning touchdown or field goal. They're going to win the game. And Florida State's quarterback just fumbles it like he's got money on the game. Yeah. I mean, it just went. And so Lamar leads them down, and they get a field goal and win it. And the locker room celebration was crazy. And Bobby Petrino said it afterward. We needed this win for the city of Louisville and the community. We just needed this. And
it's amazing how things turn on a dime, right? Because at 11 a.m. yesterday morning, I think a lot of Kentucky fans were feeling like, and then we're going to beat Louisville because their season's over with. And a lot of Louisville fans were like, and then we probably are going to end up getting beat by Kentucky again. And now, I think there may be a little different feeling today. But you know what? I mean, it's like Bobby Petrino did make a horrible call that could have cost him the game in that game on that fourth down play. When you've got
Lamar Jackson.
Literally, he's the best player in college football. Right. They gave him a trophy saying as much last year.
Right.
And they need 1 yard.
Yeah.
And you don't let him do it.
Yeah. Throwing or running.
Any way you want it to.
Yeah.
Anyway, he was going to get it for you. And then you didn't do that. So they got fortunate in that respect. But I still love watching Lamar. I love even after the game when they interviewed him and he said kind of the same thing. You know, we needed this. Everyone needed this. And he said, I remember coming to Tallahassee my freshman year and we got stomped.
Yeah.
So it's nice to come to Tallahassee and get a win.
And 2 straight wins over Florida State. That's kind of big.
Yeah.
So it was good. Good for them. Good for the city of Louisville. But the rest of the week, you had Monday, Petrino got fired. Wednesday, Jurich. And then was it Thursday night that Petrino's interview with Jay Billis was on? did you watch it? Did you think that Jay Billis was tough enough on him or no?
No. But I wasn't expecting that. And,
it's almost as if Patino was like, but yeah, I'll talk to Billis, but nobody else.
That's why Patino agreed to do that interview with him.
Right. Now, Billis did try as tactfully as he could to say, dude, you're Mr. Meticulous. You know, you comb over everything. How in the world wouldn't you know about this stuff? You know, the lie detector test and the,
You got a blood pressure hooked up, right? You're wired up.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
I hope you never have to go through that.
Yeah, it's a tough thing. Hope you never have to go through that. Yeah, because that probably means you did something horrific and you're guilty.
Right. Like, you don't just fall into having to take a lie detector test. Yeah, you're either on Maury or something has gone awfully wrong.
Let's say, here is the one thing that bothers me the most about the people who support the Louisville fans who are still backing Jurich and Patino. If Patino didn't know, let's just say he doesn't. Let's just, lie detector test is true. He didn't know nothing about Katina Powell, all that stuff. The crime is
not
that
knowing.
You are the boss. Apply the entire situation to any workplace. Tom Jurich is the head boss, and Patino is the manager of the basketball department. Okay, that's it.
Have you ever been pulled over for speeding? And then you want to tell the cop, I didn't know it was 55 here. That's why I was going 75.
Right.
Doesn't matter.
Or let's just say
it doesn't matter that you don't know. You were supposed to know.
Yeah. Let's just say, Mary Jo, you work for my company. I'm your boss. And you mess up and it puts a bad name on our company. And I say, okay, that's one bad thing. I mean, come on. Then you do something else really bad, and then it makes the name of our company even worse, destroys the name of our company. And I go, it doesn't appear that it was your fault, so I'm going to let you slide on this one. And then but a few months later, you do it again. And I still am not going to fire you. Then my bosses come to me and go, this is on you, dude.
Yeah.
You had one, two opportunities, and now a third one's happened, and now you've ruined our entire department. So you're both gone. That's it.
Yeah.
Understand that. You've been great for us. You have helped us build this company. But your lapse in judgment these last few years is not worth what we're getting in return, which is a horrible reputation and probation and investigations and everything else.
Why do you think he cannot just understand that? Do you think he has a right to sue Louisville? I mean, of course he has a right to sue Adidas, I meant. But do you think it's justified to sue Adidas?
He's just trying to get his money, Mary Jo, and clear his name. So, yeah, I guess. Joe Musado
is next.
SECCountry.com. When the Dan and Mary Jo Show continues.
On ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Major key alert. Don't ever play yourself. Life is like school. You will be tested. So pass it.
Learn the real major keys to getting to college at GetSchooled.com.
Stay focused. Now that's a major key alert.
Brought to you by Get Schooled and the Ad Council.
Take a look under your bed. Find stuff under there? What about jobs? No? Now try your basement. There's a pair of overalls that overall you're not so into anymore. A perfectly good laptop that hasn't sat in your lap in months. And even more stuff, but still no jobs? Well, you really have both. See, stuff is defined as household articles considered as a group. Sometimes this stuff is no longer needed. Wait, no longer needed? That can't be right. Because remember those jobs you were looking for? Those are really needed, and they're the stuff inside your stuff. Even inside that winter coat that moved with you to Phoenix. Our job is to unlock those jobs, and it starts when you donate your stuff to your local Goodwill. Here's how we do it. When you donate to Goodwill, we sell your stuff to provide job training for people right here in your community. So just by teaming up with Goodwill, you help create jobs. And isn't that worth parting with the leftover keytar from your 80s cover band? Goodwill. Donate stuff, create jobs. Find your nearest donation center at goodwill.org. A message from Goodwill and the Ad Council.
ESPN Sports Radio 1300. WLXG Lexington. An LM Communications Broadcasting Station.
I'm Christine Lisi. Latest NFL injury news from ESPN's Adam Schefter. Jags running back Leonard Fournette. Game day decision against the Colts. Noon Eastern ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Titans running back DeMarco Murray and tight end Delaney Walker will play. Chargers running back Melvin Gordon and receiver Keenan Allen will play. Cardinals running back Andre Ellington not expected to play. Ravens running back Rashad Perriman is out. Adam Schefter also reporting, doctors believe Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers can start throwing in 6 weeks, and that would give him a chance to return near the end of the regular season. Rodgers put on IR this week with a broken collarbone. He cannot be activated until week 15 against the Panthers. Westgate Superbook has the Dodgers as minus 160 favorites to beat the Astros in the World Series. There is one main difference between the two 100-win regular season teams, explains ESPN's Chris Singleton.
The bullpens. In the Los Angeles Dodgers bullpen is very deep. They can really shorten the ball game. The question still remains for the Astros as far as how they're going to get the final 9-12 outs of a game, and that's going to be a little problematic for them in the World Series at spot.
Our Chris Singleton, World Series Game 1 Tuesday, 7 Eastern, ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Clayton Kershaw, Dallas Keuchel. After last night's loss in Game 7 of the ALCS, skipper Joe Girardi said he loves managing the Yankees but is unsure whether he'll be back in 2018. His contract is up at the end of this season. Girardi has not definitively said he wants to return, nor have the Yankees said they want him back.
Carson Wentz and the Eagles are flying high, sitting at 5-1. Can they complete the season sweep against Washington? We'll ask Booger McFarland when he joins Mike and Mike Monday morning at 8 on ESPN Radio and ESPN2.
Why is it that when someone asks you to just trust them, you just don't? Because trust is tricky. You can't just say it. You have to back it up. AAA Auto Insurance has been doing that for over 100 years. As quickly as a car accident happens, AAA starts to set things right, matching you with the right expert who makes your claim their priority until you're back behind the wheel. Talk to a AAA insurance agent at your local office today or visit AAA.com/insurance to learn more about AAA.
Shouldn't you have a checking account that makes your life easier? Introducing Easy Checking from Republic Bank. Relax with no minimum balance or monthly maintenance fees. Easily send money through our app with Mobile Pop Money. Log into your account by scanning your finger or eye with your smartphone. And for easy access to your money, you can use 85,000 surcharge-free ATMs worldwide. Easy Checking for your hard-earned money. We're Republic Bank, and it's just easier here. $50 required to open checking account. Message and data rates may apply. Member FDIC.
A dining experience unlike any other. Gray's provides a fun, relaxed, casual environment serving global comfort food that is freshly made and organic. With its ever-changing chalkboard menu, you'll find a new and exciting meal every time you visit. Gray's can be found in Lexington at 207 South Limestone and in Winchester at 150 Combs Ferry Road. Reservations are suggested and can be made by calling the Lexington location at 859-309-9686 or the Winchester location at 859-745-0990. Gray's is open during dinner hours only.
Do you avoid laughing aloud, smiling, even eating in public because your denture may slip or a space left by missing teeth may show? If so, visit Dr. Claire to see if dental implants are right for you and get back to eating and speaking with comfort and confidence again.
Hi, I'm Dr. Susan Claire. When it comes to your dental health, there's an old saying, good dentistry isn't expensive, lack of good dentistry is. Let me show you how to smile with confidence again.
For all your dental needs, visit Dr. Claire at 145 Walton Avenue, Lexington.
Jimmy John's World's Greatest Gourmet Sandwiches, Ed speaking.
Yes, I need a sandwich delivery right away.
What kind of sandwich?
I don't care, just get it to 215 Elm Street right now.
I'm on my way!
Jimmy John's.
Thanks for getting here so fast.
You're welcome, sir. Here's your sandwich. By the way, did you know your house is on fire?
That's why I called Jimmy John's.
Fire makes you hungry?
No, I knew you'd get here fast. Grab a bucket.
We're going to need more than two guys, sir.
You're right. What'll we do?
Leave it to me, sir.
Hello?
Hello, boss. Send everyone you got to 215 Elm.
Okay.
Doesn't matter what kind of sandwich, sir. I'll explain later.
Right.
Thank you, sir.
Jimmy John's. Come in.
Sir, did you know your house is on fire?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you know your house is on fire?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you know?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you...
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Fire department.
Come in.
Sir, did you know you...
It's okay, Captain. We got it handled. Care for a sandwich?
Thanks, but tell me something.
Shoot.
Why didn't you call the fire department first?
I did.
Order Jimmy John's sandwich delivery today. Jimmy John's. Freaky fresh. Freaky fast.
The only things that fit better than a custom-tailored suit...
are ARE fiberglass camper tops, lids, and tonneau covers.
This is Brenda Satterwhite with my sons, Jeremy and Justin, from Linex of Kentucky. No matter where your adventures take you, we've got you covered.
ARE tops are molded to fit your vehicle perfectly.
They fit any truck, any bed size, just like a surgical glove.
ARE's paint matching technology is the best in the business to give your ride a seamless look while protecting your valuables from rain and sticky fingers.
Whether you use your truck for work, play, or both, ARE gives it more room, protection, and great looks.
We love ARE fiberglass camper tops, lids, and tonneau covers.
That's why Linex of Kentucky is one of the top 100 ARE dealers in the country.
Come on in and see how well one fits on your ride.
Linex it at Linex of Kentucky, behind the Toyota of Nicholasville, big used car store.
Welcome to the Dan and Mary Jo Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. Be a part of the show by calling 381-1313 or tweet your comments to at D Reefer or at MJP18. Now, here are Dan Reefer and Mary Jo Perino. Oh, you know, Mary Jo, I thought for a minute there we were almost done talking about Kentucky and Mississippi State. But we should have booked Joe for like 9:30 or 9:15 because we're going to come back to it right now. But, I mean, there's more, you know, news now that has come out with the revelation that Ole Miss QB Shea Patterson will be out, which, you know, that's a horrible situation, obviously, for that young man. But, of course, for the rest of the teams on Ole Miss's schedule, they're not going to cry about not having to play Shea Patterson. Joe Musato from SECCountry.com was down there in Starkville yesterday. He covers the Cats, and he joins us now here on the Dan and Mary Jo Show. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning to you guys. Sorry for bringing the game back up.
Joe, could you tell us word for word what Vince Mero told the team after the game?
I don't know if I'm allowed to say that. Right
no,
now.
You're absolutely not allowed to say that. What was the reaction in kind of, was it an uncomfortable spot to be in? Because
yeah, paint the picture.
Yeah,
for
because
us there.
Stoops was saying I'm distracted. He couldn't kind of answer questions because you could, you know, through the paper thin walls, you could hear Mero just chewing at the team.
Yeah. So basically, the picture was about halfway through. I would say Stoops talks for about 8 minutes or so, and I think maybe halfway in or a little more toward the end. You could sort of hear some yelling in the locker room, which was right next door. The way Mississippi State's visiting media room is set up, it's basically a door and a wall separates it from the locker room. So you could hear some yelling. But then as it kind of went on, you could start making out what was clearly Vince Mero chewing out some of the Kentucky players. You couldn't really tell, you know, what they were doing or why he was chewing them out, but obviously it had something to do with the huge loss. So then basically, Mark did. It was kind of an uncomfortable situation because you didn't know if Mark was going to address that because he knew everyone could hear it. And then it just got to the point where it kind of was really distracting. So Mark had to say something, and then they had to go quiet Vince down.
Yeah, you can hear it pretty clearly in the video that you you posted on Twitter.
You
can...
Like, how are you going to talk over Vince? Like, hey, Vince, can you keep it down in there? Trying to do a press conference out here.
Yeah, that's how it was because it was, Vince could clearly not know or he didn't know what was going on at the time. And it was just like this weird thing. Like, is someone going to go, like, tell him that we can all hear everything he's saying or what's going to happen here? And then finally, Susan Lax from UK Media Relations basically had to stick her head in the door and say, Vince, keep it down. So it was a weird situation.
So in talking to the players and coaches and stuff afterwards, do you get the feeling that this could go, you know, one of two ways, like go off the rails, or this could they could kind of regroup and move forward here with some games that are ahead on the schedule that could honestly go either way? You know, Tennessee looks like a very winnable game for Kentucky, but if they don't get their blanks together, as Vince would say,
right.
You know, things could really go downhill.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's kind of wait and see for that, and I'm with you on that because, you know, there are winnable games left. Tennessee, Ole Miss, Vanderbilt, I mean, all three of those are winnable games before they kind of get into the last meet at the end of the schedule. But at the same time, they're all losable games as well, and now it's up to see if this game it's kind of like a preview of what's to come, and maybe everyone that was saying that 5-1 record was kind of hollow, and maybe they weren't a great team. I mean, now it's time to find out, because Tennessee's not very good. I think they should beat Tennessee at home, but if that game goes wrong for Kentucky, I just feel like there's going to be a whole lot of backlash. And my main concern for this team with the way they played yesterday was they were coming off a bye week. They had 2 weeks to prepare for that game, and they still came out flat and just looked like the far inferior team.
Yeah, with Kentucky's, I don't know, just the first, well, let's say the second quarter there, where Mark Stoops talks mm-hmm. about the game turning on that.
Right.
But he doesn't really get into the rest of how he could see it turning there, because, you know, of course, it was a 45-7 score, and at that time it was 10-7. And I understand a little bit what he's saying, but did you get any sense from anyone else that they really felt that's where they lost the whole thing?
Yeah, I think they feel like they lost the game. Well, I don't think they're using this call as an excuse or anything, but I think had that, you know, 3rd-and-1 call when they decided to pass the ball, Mark said kind of over and over that he would have run the ball if he could have gone back and taken back that call, because he said they knew that Mississippi State had the momentum in that game, but they also knew that they were pretty lucky to only be down 10-7 at the time, so they really wanted to take that end of the half, basically regroup and then come out. But not getting that, then Mississippi State scores, and then the whole game, it kind of snowballs after that, and it all falls apart. So perhaps if that, you know, if they convert 3rd-and-1 there, they get a big play, that game goes totally different. But at the same time, I mean, you can't, you know, take away from that game and not say that Mississippi State was just the better team. I don't think they're 38 points better than Kentucky, but I think they're a better team, and they proved that last night. But the margin, I think, is what surprised us all.
Yeah, Eddie Grant had a really nice quote that you had that you written in your story on SECCountry.com. And so he says, "You never think you're going to get your face waxed."
Yeah. Yeah, they got waxed. I mean, there's no other way to look at it. So, you know, but Eddie was one of the main guys. He was asked, you know, how do you regroup? Are you worried about the guys not bouncing back from this? And he basically was like, nope, I'm not going to talk to them about that at all, because I'm not worried about that. They're going to come back. So I think it's kind of a vote of confidence for this team, and that they will be able to bounce back, but they just have to play a lot better than they did yesterday.
I think for long-suffering Kentucky fans, and there were certainly a bunch of them out there who thought the 5-1 record was a little bit fraudulent because of who they had beaten and how they had right. beaten them, that this kind of proves their theory that Kentucky wasn't that good. But I think it was coming off of a bye week to perform that way. Did they kind of have an explanation for why that was the case?
No, I mean, there really wasn't an explanation. And it was really that's what just surprised me the most, because when Kentucky played Missouri a couple weeks ago, Missouri was coming off their bye week, and Mark said over and over, you know, watch out for Missouri. They're a lot better than people think. And they kind of like showed that in that Kentucky game. I mean, they almost beat Kentucky. They had a few new looks coming off the bye. So we kind of asked Mark about that. Like, you said that about Missouri, and then you guys basically came out flat. And I mean, they don't really have an explanation for it. I don't know. I don't believe that it was for a lack of motivation. I just think maybe they were off. Steven Johnson didn't have a great game. The offense wasn't clicking. The defense was pretty bad. I mean, so really no other explanation than they just got beat. But, yeah, I thought them coming off the bye week and then playing like that was a little bit concerning.
We're talking to SECCountry.com's Joe Musato here on the Dan and Mary Joe Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. Joe, from everyone you talked to, players, coaches, after that game, what was kind of your takeaway? What did you glean from it all? What stood out to you the most about comments that you could maybe read more into or just kind of interpret?
You know, I think this team has a lot of pride. I mean, I look back to that South Carolina game when a lot of people, myself included, picked against them, thought South Carolina was going to win that game. And then after the game, they were almost defiant in a way that was like kind of like an I told you so. Like, I told you we were a good team, mm-hmm. stuff like this. And they've kind of kept up that you know, Benny Snell talked before this game, like, we're 5-1 and not ranked. Why is that? So this game, I just thought kind of like was a shock to them, just because they were sort of buying into that record, buying into, you know, kind of their place as being a dark horse in the East. And this kind of zaps all of that away from them and kind of set them back a little bit. But at the same time, I think they could use it as motivation going forward. Some of those goals are still there. You know, 8 wins is really possible still, especially with the way the schedule sets up. Winning the East isn't possible, but unless everything just goes crazy. But there's still a lot ahead of this team, but it also could go the opposite way. I mean, they could lose to Tennessee, and then it could really all fall apart, and we could be looking at the same situation we were a few years ago when they started 5-1, and then it all unraveled.
Yeah, and I think that's a big fear for a lot of fans, is we've seen this happen before, where we've started 5-1, and then, like Dan was saying earlier, Mark's gone on his radio show and saying, hey, you know, we're 5-1, we're 5-1, quit, you know, what's there to complain about? And they had been 5-1 before and then lost every other game that year. And then you lay an egg at Mississippi State. But now we know Shea Patterson is out for the rest of the year. Ole Miss is quarterback, and Kentucky gets them in 2 weeks. They get Tennessee next week, also coming off just a brutal beatdown, but albeit at the hands of Alabama. But they haven't scored a touchdown, an offensive touchdown, in a long time. Tennessee hasn't. So this would be a really good chance for the defense to kind of get back some of what it lost this week.
Yeah, exactly. Get the defense back to what they were doing. And I think kind of more importantly for this program, get the fan base back kind of like behind the scene, because it seems like just from seeing some of the reactions, and I know it's not, you know, representative of the whole fan base, but it almost seemed like a lot of people were waiting for them to lose another game to be like, well, yep, we saw this coming. But I think they could quiet a lot of that if they beat Tennessee, because, you know, obviously that's a huge game for this fan base. And I just look at the way the schedule sets up. I mean, they're going to be favored, I think, in their next 3 games with Tennessee, Ole Miss, and at Vanderbilt. Those are all 3 winnable games, and that could get them to 8 wins, which we've talked about over and over, that they haven't gotten there since 1984. So I think games like the one we saw yesterday are forgotten if they still accomplish something like that.
Do you feel like that game, it seems to me that Mark Stoops was kind of saying, as far as the out physical, you feel like Kentucky just kind of got hit and they did get out physical. And then when they realized that Mississippi State was there to be more physical than them, they just kind of went into a shell. Maybe it got away from them so quickly that they just weren't ready for that kind of, they weren't ready for what Mississippi State was going to do them. That's what it felt like. It's like that quote from Mike Tyson, everybody has a plan until you get punched in the nose. And that's what that game felt like.
Yeah, it definitely felt like that. I mean, even with the extra week to prepare, they weren't prepared to face a guy like Nick Fitzgerald, to face a rushing offense that was 14th in the nation, third best in the SEC. And on the flip side of that, I mean, I wrote about this before the game. It was kind of strength versus strength if you just looked at the numbers. Mississippi State was third in the conference in rushing yards per game. Kentucky was third in giving up the fewest rushing yards per game. They were 10th in the nation. But when you looked at who they had played, there was no rushing offense that Kentucky faced that was better than, I think, 42nd in the nation. There was a couple that were ranked in the 100s. So they hadn't faced a team that loved to run the ball. Mississippi State loved to run the ball, and it was kind of a shock, I think. You know, they expected it, but they just didn't know how to deal with it, and that showed. So I think it kind of, you know, made that whole stat, you know, look like maybe it wasn't the case that they were actually the 10th best rush defense in the country, because Mississippi State did whatever it wanted on the ground.
I mean, whatever it wanted to do.
Backup quarterback.
I likened it to Missouri's offense. Like, if you look at their stats, because they've scored, you know, 150 points in 2 games.
Yeah.
They probably look like they can just score at will, but then when they play really good teams, that goes away. What do you expect this team to do over the next week? Where do you want to see improvement from the most. Because Stephen Johnson has been fairly consistent all year, and he had a bad game yesterday.
Right, yeah. I think part of that, I mean, Johnson's just, you know, gotten a lot better from where he was last year. Saturday, he wasn't a good quarterback. He wasn't his normal self that we had seen for much of this year. So I don't think that's too big of a concern. I still think there's issues on that offensive line. I mean, they had started to play a little bit better, but I thought they were pushed around last night. Really on both sides of the line of scrimmage is where I would look at, like, how does this team improve? Because both of Mississippi State's lines pushed Kentucky around, and I mean, that kind of resulted in, you know, they always say, you know, the game's won at the line of scrimmage, and Mississippi State was just better than them, stronger than them, more physical than them up front, and that's what swung the game. So, you know, Tennessee's still got, you know, for as bad as they've been this year, they've still got a lot of talent. They've still got a lot of big guys on both of those lines. So I feel like that's where Kentucky's got to focus on how do they get better before Saturday.
Yeah, and a couple, you know, notes in the game there. I don't know if you have any updates, but, you know, Landon Young had a leg injury. George Asafa with Jay looked like he had an arm injury. And then also defensively, Mike Edwards looked like he, you know, possible concussion or something, got hit in the head there. Have you heard, do you have any updates on any of those guys?
No, hopefully we get those updates Monday. Stoops, after the game, you know, doesn't know enough, or if he does know enough about those injuries, doesn't talk about them after the game. So we should know more at his Monday presser.
Yep, that would be going against Tennessee and not having Big George and Landon Young. That would be difficult to overcome.
And did you feel like Jordan Jones was back to being himself?
Maybe not all the way himself. So I thought he did kind of earlier in the game. I thought he overran a few plays. But, I mean, he was himself in the way that he seemed to be all over the field. Like, wherever the play ended, he was over there. He didn't look inhibited by any injury. You know, I think had they played a game last week, he was good to go. I just think this bye week really helped him sort of get back to normal. So it's great for that defense to have him back, and maybe it will be kind of a, you know, Saturday might have been a little learning curve for him to get back to normal and see what this thing's all about. So I would expect him to play a little bit better next week.
His mouth didn't miss a step. It was running full speed.
He usually doesn't, so he's back in that way as well. His personality is the same.
Hey, well, Joe, thank you so much for taking time to visit with us this morning. We appreciate it. Hopefully, have you made it back safely yet, or are you still in Mississippi?
I'm still down here, about to head back pretty soon, though.
All right. Well, safe travels, my man.
Thank you, Joe. Right.
Thank you, guys.
Joe Musato there from SECCountry.com. Always good stuff from him, his articles last night. And then he has that video, of course, of Vince Mero posted of Mark Stoops trying to talk over Vince Mero. So if you want to check that out, at Joe.
It's actually pretty funny because someone is asking him the question, well, now that you've kind of changed the culture around here, you know, is that part of... But the reporter's like having to yell the question so that he can... hear it, and you just kind of see Stoops' face. You've got to watch the video you're. It's an NSFW video, so watch it. You know, not in front of children, but it's an interesting dichotomy there to watch.
By the way, I really SEC Country, you know, kind of came onto the scene just a year or so ago. It seems like I've done a really good job with Kyle Tucker and Joe Musato, the two of them together. Really do a fine job covering UK football and basketball. All right, got to get to a break. Back with more. Take your calls, 381-1313 here on the Dana Mary Jo Show.
On ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Shouldn't you have a checking account that makes your life easier? Introducing Easy Checking from Republic Bank. Relax with no minimum balance or monthly maintenance fees. Easily send money through our app with Mobile Pop Money. Log into your account by scanning your finger or eye with your smartphone. And for easy access to your money, you can use 85,000 surcharge-free ATMs worldwide. Easy Checking for your hard-earned money. We're Republic Bank, and it's just easier here. $50 required to open checking account. Message and data rates may apply. Member FDIC.
Oh no, I broke my iPhone.
Experimat can fix it.
But how much will that cost? I'll probably have to rob a bank, hit the lottery, or hope a long-lost relative leaves me a huge sum of money.
Not at Experimac.
Experimac? What's that?
Experimac is your place for pre-owned Apple products and repair.
Repair?
Yep. iPhones, iPads, iMacs, MacBook, and Macs. You break it, Experimac repairs it. Experimac, 2380 Norman Lane, Suite 130, right next to Salsarita's. Or call 859-368-9265. Experimac. Computers, tablets, phones, buy, sell, trade, or repair.
This is a Morgan & Morgan consumer message.
When you are injured or intentionally attacked at a place of business, there are things you should know and things you should do. First, know that you will have the burden to prove that the place of business knew or should have known of the dangerous condition. Make sure someone goes back and immediately takes pictures. Keep any and all receipts to prove you were there. Get witnesses if you can, and keep your shoes and clothing that you were wearing at the time of the injury. When you're the victim of a crime, that very business or public facility may not have provided proper lighting or security. They also may have negligently hired the person responsible for your injury. Once you hire us, we begin the process of obtaining evidence, taking witness statements, and investigating your claim. Time is of the essence. Don't wait. Call us on your cell phone at Pound Law. That's #529, or visit forthepeople.com. Morgan & Morgan, for the people. Offices, Lexington.
I adopted Bento in 2010 from a shelter.
A lot of people know him as Keyboard Cat.
That's just one adoption story that started at a shelter. Visit theshelterpetproject.org to find a pet near you. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Be sure to stretch out before listening. We don't want you to pull a hammy. ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show, local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show, or tweet them at DReefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
.381-1313 if you want to get in here and talk about this game. Or, you know, we have not talked much at all about UK basketball. We can do that, too, because...
Yes, there was the blue-white scrimmage.
Yeah, I mean, there is the exhibition game coming up this week.
Yes.
On Friday, and then on Monday after that is the Morehead State added exhibition game. And then that Friday... So three games beginning Friday over the following, what, 8 days there that we'll get to see Kentucky basketball before that season opener. And, you know, it would be nice if they had Jared Vanderbilt. I think that would obviously be quite a difference.
Yes, I think it'd be a huge difference.
Yeah. But even without him, they appear to have enough pieces that if they can come together and play together, that team should be fine and be a threat to, you know, to make a run in the NCAA tournament. All right, Steve's on the line. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Are you full of optimism today?
Absolutely. I'm feeling the power. What is it? The New Day says he feel the positivity or something.
Yeah.
Gotta get my wrestling quote in. But you know, the thing about it, couple things. One, Mississippi State's a good team. I've been saying that all week. I thought they were very underrated. I think the fact we had to go down there didn't help. And, you know, Frank, I mean, they're just a good team.
They are a good team.
Compared to us, I just think they're a very good team. So I give a lot of credit to them yesterday. And the other, that goes to my other point. I'm not the biggest Eddie Grand fan. He's not impressing me. I feel like 98% of the time his play calling, like, feels predictable. And the other, like, 2% of the time, it's just foolish. Like that third and one play yesterday. It's just like, why? I mean, that's my only comment on that. It's like, why?
Yeah, that wasn't predictable.
Well, it definitely wasn't predictable. They talked about that afterward, and Stoops said, you know, that was something that they had worked on in practice, and they had kind of in their bag of tricks, or it wasn't even a trick. It was just something they had that if they were going to see if they were going to see a blitz, they felt like they could catch them in a one-on-one situation, and that's what that was. I mean, if Greg Hart does catch that ball, he's got some room in front of him. It was just well defended, but
that was a calculated risk and clearly a poor decision.
I just, you know, you did have like second and eight or something, you know, not with third and one, and you kind of need to, like, you know, keep pace with this really good team, you know?
Yeah, I mean, especially if in the post game you're going to turn around and go, that's where the game turned right there. We really needed to pick up that third and one. Well, then why did you go on a low percentage play, you know?
That's the one time you could run it up the middle. I mean, he tends to, like, run it up the middle every time on the first play, and it's like, that's the one time you can run it up the middle.
If you're down one late in the game, in a basketball game, don't shoot a 28-footer. Throw it in there to the post and try to make that shot. Yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But the thing about it, guys, like, it puts you in the mind of the average UK fan. You know, you see Tennessee coming up next week, and you look at them, and they suck. And you're sitting there. To me, if they lose that game next week, then I think the comments get a lot more mean after that from people. Yes. You know, it's like you're going to see, like, they're going to get a lot more angrier after that, because I'm telling you guys, we're going to be the game that gets Butch Jones fired. I've said that all along. I mean, I'm really serious. Like, because I've talked to a couple Tennessee people, and, like, in their minds, they don't lose to Kentucky ever. And I'm telling you, after this, if you can't fire Butch after Alabama. You just can't, because Alabama's beat everybody.
Right.
But I'm telling you, if he comes down here and loses to us, I don't think he makes it the rest of the year. I really don't.
Well, the headlines will be, like, you can go no lower, or, you know, the lowest point of Tennessee football, you know, it'll be that you just don't lose to Kentucky.
Look, the blueprint is out there. You get fired at Tennessee for losing to Kentucky.
Yeah, Derek Dooley got fired, right?
After
losing to Kentucky, yeah.
I joke with the Tennessee people. I'm like, you know, I want to liberate them from Butch Jones. I want to be the team that, you know, we want to help them get rid of Butch Jones. They want him gone down there. They're putting it on cake, for crying out loud.
Yeah. That's what I loved about the South Carolina fans who had shirts that said "Keep Butch Jones."
Yes.
You guys see it? There's like some company down there that's like making fire Butch cake down there or something. It's like all over the place.
Yeah, I'm. Here's the thing, though. Okay, look, remembering the Rich Brooks years.
Right.
I mean, Kentucky would still, even in 2007. I mean, Mississippi State came here and wasn't that good of a football team, and Kentucky still got beat the same year that the Kentucky beat LSU and Louisville. I mean,
I remember that.
This kind of stuff. Okay, you lose and you look bad against Mississippi State. If Tennessee comes up here and wins that game, you're 5-3. You turn around and you beat Ole Miss and Vandy, you're 7-3, and then you lose the last two games and you're 7-5. Well, you still got a chance to win eight games and go to a bowl. Yeah. Now that is about the high point. That's kind of the high point that you're hitting. It's just this feeling that this is Mark Stoops' best team yet, and it's the best team Kentucky's had in a while, and it should be better.
And it's honestly the way the schedule has set up this year, where other teams being, you know, perceived as being down. And who we got, you know, our draw in the West, like, and which home games are at home and which are on the road. Like, the schedule set up perfectly.
You don't have, it's not like, okay, we got Alabama, Georgia, LSU, and like Auburn on there. It's like this schedule, that's what you're looking at it and you're like, man, eight wins is possible out of the schedule if you play it just right. And I still
think eight wins is possible.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, and that's what I think. That's what's frustrating the fans. It's just like, you know, guys, this is the year you can make a dent this year, and it's just you feel like they just are incredibly average and aren't moving. They're incredibly average and they're not improving enough to become more than average. If that makes sense. You know, it's just that goes back to my complaint of Eddie. You know, it's just like, you know, it's like you got good players. I feel like he doesn't. I don't know. It doesn't feel like he uses them right sometimes. That's my other point with him that I don't like.
Well, I saw Jeff Drummond tweet this at halftime of the game, that Kentucky had thrown the ball 20 times and ran it 13 times in the first half, And yeah. they'd thrown it 20 times for 82 yards. So they were averaging 4 yards per completion.
Yeah.
On the 13 runs, they were averaging 5.7 yards per carry.
Yeah.
And here's a guy who, you know, wants to be balanced, even wants to maybe run the ball a little bit more sometimes. And yeah. and that's out of whack. You've thrown it 7 more times, and that's what's not gaining you the yardage.
He doesn't feel like that. That's what I'm saying. Like, it almost feels like he's trying to guess what the best thing to do is every game, and that's not good. You know, it's like, you got to me, it's like, I agree with the balance part, but, like, even then, I feel like you should, you know, okay, we need to pass more every game, or, like, it just, that's what I'm saying. I never feel like he's got a grasp on things.
Yeah, I don't know. It's hard for me. There have been, clearly, offensive coordinators that UK has had in the past that I have been more frustrated with. And
oh, yeah.
But I just am not ready to condemn Eddie Grant all the way. I think for the most part, I mean, because what he did last year.
Yeah.
I mean, they had a completely different game plan and strategy and philosophy for that offense. And they yeah. retooled it and switched it up, and it worked. They became what Mississippi State is right now.
And I think in the waning moments of the Missouri game, he did not play that not to lose.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't go conservative when yeah. they need, and they didn't need to. You know, yeah. So there. I'm kind of on board with Eddie Grant. I'm okay with what he's done. Now there have been yeah. I agree. There have been some foolish calls or calls that I know they wish they'd had back. And yeah. I think you've noticed, like, the Wildcat has diminished quite a bit.
Thank goodness.
Yeah, really. But, like, I'm the same like you guys. I said I'm not a fan, but I'm not ready to, like, call for his job yet.
Yeah.
He has a lot of work to do. But, like, I'm just, you know, I'm not like, oh, he needs to go right now. It's like, no. I'm willing to let him keep working it out, everything. But he's not winning me over so far, you know?
Yeah, there are still probably too many times during the game that you say to yourself, what are you doing right there? Why?
Yeah.
And so that always, kills you.
I'm telling you, in the stands, it feels like every time it's like up the middle, like on first down, it's like up the middle.
Yeah.
Up the middle. And it's just like, God, please do something else.
Well, Benny, you know, Benny is still, it feels like Benny has not been Benny. But the truth is, he's halfway to 1,000 yards halfway through the season. So
the offensive line just hasn't been the offensive line either.
But his Benny's vision is not quite the type of – his is more the play is to run here, and that's where I'm going. I'm going there, and no matter who's in the way, and that means if that means running up the butt of a offensive lineman, that's going to happen. You're going to get hit in the back. Whereas Boom would feel for the opening and try to burst through it. And so without Saheem King getting as many carries in UK's offensive line, not having as much success that way, if you're not going to get those first downs, then you can't keep running the ball like that. Like you saw exactly what Kentucky's coaches told us Mississippi State would do. Is on first and second down, they would pick up the yardage to make it third and short, and they would run it and get it. And that's what's missing from Kentucky's offense. But then the other part is when they don't hit on these passes with Steven Johnson. I mean, yesterday he was off. He was really off. But you've seen that Blake Bone, Kawan Ross, Taven Richardson, Juice Johnson, C.J. Conrad all have this, like, amazing potential. They seem like they're – that this could be an offense that just rolls and runs up and down the field with that passing game.
You know, guys, it may also be one of those things they just need a year. You know, it's like maybe it's just like, hey, they just, you got a lot of youth, you got a lot of, you know, maybe some inexperience.
But, like, I'm telling you, 9 times out of 10, it's like, you know, it's just, I just feel like it's like maybe they just need about another year, get comfortable, and then, you know, maybe it's off to the races next year. Could be something like that.
Well, there won't be a Steven Johnson.
Yeah, yeah. It'll be, you know, I get the feeling.
I don't know. I agree. Just something feels off. Like, there's times where it's just like, God, what are you doing? You know?
It's hard to. It's almost like it needs to have a rhythm. If it doesn't get that rhythm,
completely,
then it just kind of stalls out. But you know, next year without Steven Johnson
and without Kawan Ross,
and Blake Bone, mm-hmm. But next year your thought is Drew Barker starts, right? He's the one. That's
and Dorian Baker should be back,
right? But so it's Drew Barker's job. But I get the feeling that this Jaren Williams kid could come in and compete for the job. I feel like he thinks that's what's going to happen. Like Jaren Williams believes that he's going to get the chance as a freshman.
Like Jaren Williams should get the chance to start as a freshman.
Yeah.
That's how I feel.
And who knows about you still Gunner is Gunner Hoke. Look back at Reese Phillips. All right, he was the starting quarterback. You know, Patrick Toles goes to Boston College starting quarterback. You go back to Ryan Mosikowski. So one of those guys, like Gunner Hoke, probably could start somewhere else and should. So if he doesn't get his shot, he's Drew Barker now. I don't know. If he doesn't start, he's just going to feel like he's only got 1 year left. So I don't know there. And then you got the Danny Clark kid who was going to go to Ohio State. I mean, if a freshman comes in and gets the job, what's he do now? So somebody's going, by the way. I mean, there's not enough room for all these guys.
The thing is, I mean, I like Drew as a guy, but one, he has a bad back, and I'm sorry, that's going to be a concern from here on out. You know, it's just, you know, one bad hit, boom, he goes down again. And two, I just feel like he's a better backup. You know, I just something about him that's just like, I just don't see him as a starter, you know, compared. You know, I trust Steven Johnson. Like, he's a guy, like, even with yesterday, it's like, I still let him start. He's still my guy.
No, I mean, he's still the starting quarterback this year. I'm just saying he won't be here next year. So.
Right.
Yeah, true. But what I'm saying is, in overall general, in terms of Drew Barker, it's just like, you know, like, I don't know. I just feel like, you know, the other names he mentioned, it's just like, I'd much rather give them a chance than Drew. But Drew's a good backup.
Well, I mean, those guys are younger, and they would, I mean, if they need that time. Barker's just got one. But think about how much differently things could be had Barker remained healthy and not gotten injured.
Oh.
Does Benny Snell emerge as a freshman? Probably not. Steven Johnson definitely doesn't get that year to build and have a chance to improve the way he's done this year. The offense is probably, you know, much different. Just all that changes everything.
But you know, Tennessee's coming up. That's a redemption game. I really look at it for us, like, man, you could get a lot of fans back on board. You know, a lot of this, you know, because you know everybody's looking at that. You know, we were 5-1 going into yesterday, and then we lose bad like that. You know that fear of, like, oh, God, we're going to lose every game again. Fear is coming back. You know,
a lot of goodwill returns if they end up 6-2 with a win over Tennessee.
Yeah, Tennessee erases yesterday. I'm telling you, Tennessee completely erases yesterday because, number one, it's Tennessee. And in any year for Kentucky football to beat Tennessee, that makes a big difference.
Yeah.
It shows improvement. It shows that you have a better program this year than Tennessee. That's what it shows.
And people are going into next week. They feel like, man, we got a chance to beat them. Or, man, this could be the year. It's like, no, this is the year. We are better than them. Like, people are going into that game thinking, we are better than Tennessee. Like, we are going to need to get them this year. Like, this is going to be the year we officially really get them. And I'm telling you, if we lose that game, it may not be pretty.
You're right.
Lose that game. Thank you, Steve. Yes, we got to take a break here. But you lose that game, I'm going to predict it right now. I'm telling you right now, if Kentucky were to lose to Tennessee, that week is going to be filled with Mark Stoops job rumors. It just is. That's the way we roll here.
It is.
It's just going to happen.
I don't know that it's just us. I think that's
everywhere.
I think that's how it rolls everywhere where they're losing. I do. I also think then it becomes like, well, basketball's here.
And let me tell you, I mean, I hear people say, I mean, I'm not making this up. I'm not trying to spread anything. People say, I don't think Mark Stoops is a good coach. I hear people say that. I disagree. Let me just ask you this. If you have, sometimes I guess you could look yourself in the mirror and say, well, after 20 years of doing this, it's just not working out. You know, I guess you could say that. But for me, for a guy who comes from a family whose dad is a legendary high school coach, who has three sons and they all are in coaching, and one of them was at Oklahoma for 17
Four sons.
I'm sorry. And so he, Mark Stoops plays at Iowa, and then he becomes a defensive backs coach at Miami. He's a defensive coordinator at Florida State. The defense was good when he was there. I just don't think you can say, with any education at all on it, that Mark Stoops is not a good coach. Has he made mistakes? Yes. You could say maybe he's not a good CEO of a program, if you want to say that. But he knows football. Yeah. You know what I mean? He knows football. He knows how to put people in positions to win football games. I tell you what, give him the players that he had at Florida State on this defense, and you don't think Kentucky's better? You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, of course.
Coaches, I think a lot of coaches are pretty good at coaching football. It's just the players they have aren't always good at executing. Someone.
You don't accidentally become the defensive coordinator at Florida State.
Yeah. Right.
Like, I mean, that's just.
Or let me use this example. Chris Bryant, Anthony Rizzo, Wilson Contreras, Javier Baez, Addison Russell, Kyle Schwarber, John Jay, those guys, the Cubs starting lineup, in the postseason in that series against the Dodgers, none of them hit over 200. They could not hit the ball. A few of them hit a couple home runs, and that was it. They didn't put people on bases. They didn't put any pressure on the Dodgers. So should you fire the hitting coach? Is the hitting coach a bad coach? Well, no. Maybe the Dodgers have a great pitching staff. Maybe that's it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my point, is when I hear people say Mark Stoops is not a good coach. He's a good coach. It's just sometimes things don't go your way. Sometimes mistakes are made. Now, if you pile on and have as many mistakes as Butch Jones has made, like Butch Jones knows football too. He just makes some really dumb comments.
Yeah.
And he has recruiting classes that have been better. Like he and Stoops came
Same time.
And Tennessee, every year, has had a better recruiting class than Kentucky. So, you know, Tennessee should be better than they are. And I don't think that means that Butch Jones doesn't know how to coach football. It's just, it's not working for him there.
Mm-hmm.
It worked for him in Cincinnati just fine, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
People just don't all of a sudden forget how to coach. Just situations, things happen. Anyway, I'm just telling you right now, if Kentucky loses to Tennessee, there will be job security junk that gets out there. I will not be someone who believes that that should be out there, because just like we talked about, if you're 5-3, you still have Ole Miss, Vandy, Georgia, Louisville on the schedule and a bowl game, because you could be 7-3 going into those final two games. We got to take a break. Brad is telling us we got to get to it. Because we just have about 10 minutes left.
Because we haven't taken a break yet.
All right. Back with more on the Dan and Mary Joe Show.
On ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
The Dan and Mary Joe Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
I've got a terrible stain on my best dress shirt. I was going to wear it on my business trip.
Don't worry. Just take it to Emperor's Cleaners in the Auto Hour Plaza on Richmond Road. They'll get that stain right out.
There's not enough time for that. I leave for my trip in 2 days.
That's still no problem. Emperor's Cleaners specializes in same-day dress shirt service. If you drop your shirts off by 9 a.m., they'll have them ready for you the same day.
Wow. Say, I've got a pair of dress pants that are too long. Do you think they could take care of that, too?
Absolutely. Emperor's Cleaners provides top-notch alteration services.
Well, I guess I better get over there and get this stuff dropped off. Thanks.
You'll be in good hands. Emperor's Cleaners will give your clothes a royal treatment. Visit Emperor's Cleaners in the Auto Hour Plaza on Richmond Road to keep your clothing looking sharp and stylish. You'll stay dressed to the nines with our royal treatment at Emperor's Cleaners.
Emperor's Cleaners in the Idle Hour Plaza on Richmond Road. Give your clothes the royal treatment.
Looking for future leaders we can trust and believe in? Look no further than the high school student athletes right here in Kentucky. High school sports teach young people how to be effective leaders. It begins by making their grades and being on time for practice. It includes learning to listen, following directions, accepting responsibility, being a good role model. And it's about respect for officials, opponents, the rules, and each other. The result? It transcends sports. It gives us hope for the future. High school sports. There's so much more than just a game. This message presented by the Kentucky High School Athletic Association and the Kentucky High School Athletic Directors Association.
Jimmy John's World's Greatest Gourmet Sandwiches, Ed speaking.
Yes, I need a sandwich delivery right away.
What kind of sandwich?
I don't care. Just get it to 215 Elm Street right now.
I'm on my way!
Jimmy John's.
Thanks for getting here so fast.
You're welcome, sir. Here's your sandwich. By the way, did you know your house is on fire?
That's why I called Jimmy John's.
Fire makes you hungry?
No, I knew you'd get here fast. Grab a bucket.
We're going to need more than two guys, sir.
You're right. What'll we do?
Leave it to me, sir.
Hello?
Hello, boss. Send everyone you got to 215 Elm.
Okay.
Doesn't matter what kind of sandwich, sir. I'll explain later.
Right.
Thank you, sir.
Jimmy John's. Come in.
Sir, did you know your house is on fire?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you know your house is on fire?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you know?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Fire department.
Come in.
Sir, did you know your...
It's okay, Captain. We got it handled. Care for a sandwich?
Thanks, but tell me something.
Shoot.
Why didn't you call the fire department first?
I did.
Order Jimmy John's sandwich delivery today. Jimmy John's. Freaky fresh. Freaky fast.
How do you see the world?
At Shriners Hospitals for Children, we know that changing how you see things can turn them into
everyday miracles.
Like riding my bike.
Breaking boards. Ha!
Hugging my mom.
Every day for over 90 years, Shriners Hospitals for Children has been sending love to the rescue, regardless of a family's ability to pay.
If you know a child we can help, visit ShrinersHospitalsForChildren.org.
The only things that fit better than a custom-tailored suit
are ARE fiberglass camper tops, lids, and tonneau covers.
This is Brenda Satterwhite with my sons, Jeremy and Justin, from Linex of Kentucky. No matter where your adventures take you, we've got you covered.
ARE tops are molded to fit your vehicle perfectly.
They fit any truck, any bed size, just like a surgical glove.
ARE's paint matching technology is the best in the business to give your ride a seamless look while protecting your valuables from rain and sticky fingers.
Whether you use your truck for work, play, or both, ARE gives it more room, protection, and great looks.
We love ARE fiberglass camper tops, lids, and tonneau covers.
That's why Linex of Kentucky is one of the top 100 ARE dealers in the country.
Come on in and see how well one fits on your ride.
Linex it at Linex of Kentucky, behind the Toyota of Nicholasville, Big Used Car Store.
Be advised, if you're not careful, you're likely to get athlete's foot just from listening. ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show, local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show or tweet them at DReefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
So Friday, Kentucky has its exhibition opener against, is it Thomas More?
Yes.
Is that right?
Yeah. And of course they are playing that charity game with Morehead State.
Yeah, I thought that was an awesome thing.
Yes.
That they
very
added.
Very cool.
Number one, to raise the money.
Yes.
Because I don't know, there's been, I saw a tweet from Jeff Goodman said he thinks there's like 40 of these games around the country, which is outstanding. I mean, finally the NCAA does something that doesn't, you know, make you scratch your head. You couldn't, almost, it's almost unbelievable that the NCAA didn't say.
Yeah, but I thought they were going to disallow it.
No. Can't do this. Nope. I'm sorry, guys. I know you're trying to do the right thing, but the letter of the law states no. So thank goodness the NCAA didn't try to stop this. So that that game is not going to be on television. Well, it's the second exhibition game. It's an added game. You have to see it, right?
Yes.
I mean, you have to. We need, as a Kentucky basketball fan, you have to see this game. So the so then you can get tickets, and it's not part of the season ticket package. So all those seats with all the money that is spent in donations, K fund, and season ticket prices, and you know the seat right behind Calipari, that is available to anyone.
Yeah.
If you live in McCreary County and you want to buy that ticket and you've never been to a Kentucky basketball game, it was $50 to do that.
Yeah.
So yours truly bought four center court, five rows
yes.
up.
Yes.
I mean, as soon as they went on sale at 10 a.m., I'm like, I got to take my boys to this. This yeah. will be the best tickets we ever get.
Yeah.
Because I'm not paying for season tickets. Forget that. That's plus, I just don't. I can't commit to
yeah.
that. That's too much.
It's a lot.
But
it's
anyway, a lot. This would be a great first game for my kids to see Kentucky basketball because they haven't watched a Kentucky basketball game in person.
In person, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a very cool thing.
Yeah.
And so all the money going to disaster relief.
Mm-hmm.
And DeMarcus Cousins this week was named the NBA Community Assist Offseason
right.
winner, right, for doing right. all these great things. Then, of course, the very next day says blank you blank to a fan, and it's like all that goodwill is gone.
Right. Like he goes toe-to-toe with Draymond Green there, and they kind of exchange pleasantries right in front of like a 5-8-year-old girl, I think, maybe 7-year-old girl. And so that was
the NBA fined him $25,000.
Yeah.
Not 2 days after they gave him the Community right. Service Award. That's Boogie in a nutshell.
He has a good heart, Mary
He
Jo.
Does.
He has a good
He's
heart.
He's got a great heart.
It's just, he ain't going to take no stuff. All right. Try to enjoy your week. It's not supposed to be nearly as pretty as
I
it
know,
has been.
I know, but Tennessee is coming up
That's
this
right.
weekend. We and need a big one.
Last week of Keeneland. Get out there and enjoy it because it won't be back till April. Thanks for listening to the Dan and Mary Jo Show.
Here on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
It's the geometry teacher who mans the ticket window.
It's the kid in grade school who paints her face.